Beloved MTV VJ, music exec, and radio personality Matt Pinfield has spent almost four decades in front of and behind the mic. He signed bands, interviewed Beatles, and had songs written about him. But now, he's having a different conversation. He's talking with friends and supporters across the entertainment industry about their journey and how he's found his voice again, being open about his recovery. This is Sound, Sobriety, and Success.
Our guest has been a force in the field of mental health and chemical dependency for over 31 years. Now, since 2004, she's been part of the charitable arm of the Grammys, Music Cares, and now is the senior director of that organization. Welcome, Shireen Jante. Shireen, so good to see you and have you here.
So good to see you, and I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And the last time we saw each other, we had a whole group of, sober people together. You came down to hang out. It was so cool. We got a bunch of musicians. I think it was close to the time of the Grammys. This was maybe sometime when people were starting to travel again during COVID. And a whole group of sober people got together and did a big super jam in L.A. at SIR Studios.
Yes, it was wonderful.
You know, there were guys from all different bands playing. And I got up and did like an Allman Brothers song, Whipping Post or something. We had a lot of fun. It was just a great night. And just a bunch of great sober musicians having a really good time and just enjoying each other's company and celebrating life, which is really cool. Now, you know, I got to say, Shireen, you know, I'm a living example of how Music Cares helps people. You guys have been so incredible to me. I know firsthand how much of a difference that's made in my life. Before we go into those details, though, let's start with you. What made you get into the field of recovery?
Well, like many of us, I was born into a family of just artists. My mom used to be an actress and my father an aspiring actor. My daughter is a musician, artist, dancer. So I happened to be the black sheep that, you know, very early on fell into drugs and alcohol at a very early age and just spiraled out of control most of my teen years and early adult years and got sober at 30 years old. And, you know, I wasn't one of those people that immediately wanted to work in treatment. That wasn't my story. I worked in entertainment and kind of wanted to stay there. And then when I was about 7 years sober, I realized I really had a gift, you know, and the gift was helping people. And that's what really filled my heart, you know. And so I decided to leave the industry, entertainment, go to school, get credentialed. And lo and behold, I do have, you know, a higher power, if you will, in my life, who still thought I needed to be back in the music industry, but now in a whole different capacity, which led me to Music Cares, which had no idea at the time that the Recording Academy had a charitable arm called Music Cares, which did exactly what we do, which is helping music people in the industry have fallen on hard times. And at this point, I was credentialed and ready to go and had no idea that Music Cares was there, but found them. And it's a pretty awesome story, not enough time to tell it, but, you know, just the dynamic of how I ended there, landed there. I got to work back in entertainment, which, of course, is fun and cool, but more importantly, make a difference in people's lives, you know, changing lives, saving lives, making a difference. It was the best of both worlds, and I've been there now going on 18 years.
Which is amazing. You know, I can look back maybe anywhere from 10 to 7 years ago, because, you know, I've been obviously I've struggled in and out, but recently been doing extremely well. And finally it clicked for me, which is a beautiful thing. But in those times when I was working to get sober, you guys were so good to me. And you and I, what was great is we met because there would be, you know, these, radio conventions, music conventions, like festivals. And even they would even do these things on ships and cruises. It was so great that Music Cares, they would set up like a safe harbor, safe haven room. And you and I were together in many of those, which I thought was so cool. You and I had a musician or two. And it was it was a great way to get to know you. So I was so excited that I was going to get to have you here on
the
podcast.
Sometimes it was just you and I, Matt.
It was. Right. I remember.
Yeah, and sometimes there were so many more, but it was such treat to connect with you during those times.
It really was. You know, so like, tell me about, Music Cares and the thing with, like, why it really was important to you to get involved with connecting with musicians. Because, I mean, you've always been kind of in the world of entertainment. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, of course, who doesn't? I'd be shocked. Who doesn't love music, first of all? You know, yeah. I've always loved music. It's always filled my heart. You know, every song you listen to can take you back to some point in your life. So I loved music. And I actually worked at AFTRA before I got sober. So I've been, you know, at AFTRA for a while, and just, it's always been a part of me. And when I got sober, I just had a lot of friends and loved ones who were also artists and in the music industry. So my little caveat to ending up at Music Cares is when I decided to get sober, the very first person that I saw, that I met, that did my intake when I went to the hospital was named Buddy Arnold. I think you might have remembered Buddy or heard about him.
Oh, I loved him. You know, he was an amazing person who, I mean, Musicians Assistance Program, which was one earlier on that he had started, which I know that when he passed away, folded into Music Cares, right?
Yes, but he never even had started Music Cares. I mean, MAP, yeah, Musicians yeah. Assistance Program. Like, he wasn't. So to fast forward, when, you know, I don't want to bring the God thing into this talk too much, but I do have a higher power. All I can tell you is that I was divinely led here by just a series of people and events. And this is absolutely clearly where I was supposed to be, you know, from him being the first person that I came in contact when I got sober, to finally finding out about Music Cares, really wanting to work here. I wanted to work here for like 4 years before I got the job, but there were no jobs because Music Cares is small and people stay, you know, and the turnover was, there wasn't any. It was Harold at the time. And I would say, Harold, you know, I want to work at Music Cares. He's like, Shireen, there's no positions. I'm like, no, Harold, I want to work there. I'm going to work there. And he goes, okay. And then unfortunately, you know, of course this is not what I had hoped the path would be, but when Buddy did pass, yes, one position was created, one, because they did merge in, and that was the position that I ended up getting.
Well, I mean, Buddy would be happy that you got that position. You know, for those people listening, Buddy Arnold was this beautiful guy. I loved him. He was such a character. You know, I mean, from Guys in the Chili Peppers to, so you know, and of course, I never really talk about anybody ever that hasn't been actually open about their recovery, just out of respect for the program and everything.
But, absolutely.
You know, the people that have talked about it, many of us have come into contact with Buddy. And I love the guy. He was such a character. He was a short jazz musician, trumpet player, amazing guy, had toured with so many famous jazz musicians, and had been through a lot of rough times. And, you know, I don't know if I ever told you this, Shireen, but the crazy thing was, after knowing Buddy all those years, the day I found out that he had passed away, because, of course, you know, he had people on his couch like Kurt Cobain, you know, trying to help him kick and help the Chili Peppers and help so many other people as well, just like Music Cares does, which is why it was so important that it was great they merged and got together at this point. But I remember hearing that Buddy had passed away on the radio. I was laying in bed in New York City with it was late at night, you know, and, you know, us guys, we get a little older. We got to pee in the middle of the night. You know the deal. So all of a sudden, I wake up, and I like to hear something playing in the background, whether it's a little TV or a radio. So it was on the New York News Channel. And I remember getting up to use the bathroom, laying back down, my eyes almost going to sleep. And then the top of the hour news says jazz legend Buddy Arnold has passed away from a triple heart bypass complications during surgery. And I remember I just sprung out of bed because, you know, I just thought about Buddy and how much I loved the guy. I mean, he was such a character, and he didn't candy coat anything. That was the other thing that was so cool about him, I remember at that time. But what a great group of people at Music Cares. You mentioned Harold. The things you guys do for people and for musicians. And the thing that I love, too, is that you don't have to be a famous musician. You do things for just... You do it for everybody. And, you know, so talk to me about that.
Well, and I love that you brought that up. And just, you know, when you asked me a little while ago, too, like, why did I also want to be here? It was for that absolute reason. Actually, how I found out about Music Cares was because I'd gone to school, I was a licensed counselor at the time working at a rehab. And so I would get calls in the admissions department or as a counselor, and the client would be referred by Music Cares. I'm like, well, who is this Music Cares? Like, who's Music Cares? I knew about MAP. And so that's how I found out. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I loved that, yes, you didn't have to be the A-list artist or the one that everybody knew. you know, Music Heroes was created in 1989, which also, by the way, is when I got sober. I mean, there's so many key reasons why I know I was supposed to be here, but it was, you know, developed by the Recording Academy to give back to their own. But those who do not have, you know, there's so many people that work in our industry that you know that are living paycheck to paycheck like many people in the world. You know, and even though they may tour, perform, go out, but it could be the stagehand guy, it could be the sound guy, it could be the bus driver, but they're still working in the music industry, supporting music and what we do and making it, loving it. And Music Heroes comes in to help those that don't have the means, you know, to get help when they need it and don't have insurance, or maybe they have insurance, but they don't have a copay, you know. And so we come in, and I love that we get to do that, that we get to help people who help us.
Yeah, I mean, you've been absolutely amazing. Now, rock and roll is known for its like over the top behavior, we know, of course. And, you know, sometimes legendary, you know, crazy, absolute behavior. You hear these stories all the time. Now, how do you break through that mindset of people feeling that just kind of going over the top is part of the job and it's part of the rock and roll lifestyle?
Well, you know, I think for me anyway, what I've seen is throughout the years, you know, for so long, many of us were programmed like to be anonymous, and definitely understand why. You know, I understand anonymity. But I think now more than ever, people are coming out because, unfortunately, you know, addiction, mental health is so rampant. And those of us that can have a voice, you know, that can be comfortable enough to not be anonymous, I think, you know, we've been able to start breaking the stigma. And that's people like you. And that's people like that are the A-list artists that have finally decided to come out and share and letting people know that, you know, at one time it was cool. And yes, it is part of rock and roll. And yes, the life is amazing and fun and fast and, you know, right, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But, you know, that's when we're all like a lot younger too, right? I mean, the older we get and just the messages that we relay, and like, who better to have a voice speaking to the audience of youngsters, teens, adults, whatever, who are listening to us, than to share that, yes, it is a great life, but there's a price to pay, right, that comes with that. So I don't know if this is helping answer that question, but people telling their story that people can hear that, that all that's glitter is not gold, you know?
Yeah.
And just because it looks like that doesn't mean, you know, there's always a price to pay on the other side of anything that also is really amazing and fun, and especially in entertainment, let alone the music, rock and roll industry.
You guys have been just so amazing during the whole COVID thing, because it's been absolutely so hard. I mean, that is one of the industries, entertainment and music especially, was one of the hardest hit, you know, with all those people. And you mentioned it before when you were answering that question, when we talk about everybody that's involved in every level, because it takes a lot of people to make these incredible shows and things, you know, happen. Like you said, the merch person at the, you know, that's selling the t-shirts, and, you know, the stage hands, you know, everybody, people that work in the venues, the things that Music Heroes have done for people. Let's talk a bit about that, because there's so many different aspects. Tell me about some of the things that you guys have done.
Absolutely. Well, just our general services, and let's just talk about quickly prior to the pandemic. I mean, we have a spectrum of, you know, services, which include physical, mental health, addiction recovery, preventative clinics, you know, personal emergencies. We pay rent, medical, bills, things like that if people are in crisis. As you know, if people have addiction issues or just depressive issues, we can send them to therapists, or we can send them to rehab and detox, even sober living. So I'm just so proud that we're able to do that. But let me just tell you, when COVID hit, literally in March of 2020, since March of 2020, just to give you an idea, and this is why I'm just so proud of working for Music Heroes, no matter what disasters actually happened, we've been basically first responders coming in, where people have had to wait through other organizations or companies to get help. We have come in right away. And when COVID hit, typically a fiscal year for us, which is still really amazing, we help about 8,000 people a fiscal year prior to COVID. The first three months of COVID, we had helped 18,000 people. And to date, which is 2 years later, almost, not even quite 2 years later, to date, we have helped 30,000 thousand people with our just our COVID relief fund with $24 million, with people just stepping in, donating money, caring. We have been overworked, understaffed, working like ridiculous hours. Obviously, it's leveling out a little bit now. But Matt, I can't tell you also just the letters of gratitude and the text messages and the emails and the phone calls, just sobbing, you know, when you're so endlessly tired and in our own trauma. I mean, obviously me, myself, my family, everybody at Music Cares, we're experiencing everything that everyone else is in the world, right? But we were literally on just like robotic, you know, work. We were working 24 hours, literally just hours trying to get these applications through and help people during this time. And it has been so rewarding to know that we were able to at least make some difference, you know, in these people's lives.
I mean, you did it for so many people. And I just think Music Cares is so important, which is why, you know, I've always gotten involved in anything that I could do as far as fundraisers and things that I have to do with the organization. And, you know, I went through it during the, you know, during the pandemic is when I relapsed and went into a really, you know, dark place and was really suffering. You know, I started drinking heavily again in a very short period of time. And you guys were there. And it was amazing, you know, to talk to you and to Harold. And I know since Harold's retired, but, you know, you guys, everybody there, like Winnie, who works there, I knew her from her days. I love her at Musicians Assistance Program at MAP. It's just a great group of people. What I think about when I think of Music Cares, it's you couldn't have a more direct and appropriate name for an organization because you people absolutely do care. You care about everyone on every single level. And, you know, you're the first person people can get through on a phone call to talk about, you know, trying to find solutions and to help. And I think that was so important to me because I remember a conversation, and you and I have many about a lot of things. But I remember talking to Harold and him saying, you know, Matt, I really think we got to try and find a different kind of place for you to go into treatment this time. Something that's a little more intellectual too, with a little more of a challenge for you because, you know, and I thought, you know, that is a great idea. And that's one of the things I took out of my last rehab was that I really concentrated on the mental aspect of my alcoholism and addiction, went deep into that, which was really extremely helpful. And not that treatment in the past hasn't been helpful, but because it always has. But I mean, you guys have been, I can't even begin to say how generous you've been to me and to so many other people that have worked in the business. But I mean, you've done it for people who have family members, you know, you're like, if they, you know, that's guys who are just starting out, you know, like in a band that could be 18 or, you know, I mean, it's amazing what I've seen you do, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Shireen, you're going to talk right now.
I just said, thank you. We love you. I just, right before the show, I was texting with our executive director, who's, you know, over the head of Music Cares now, Laura Segura, and she sent her hello to you.
I'll say my love to Laura. And, she's great.
You know, no, that's all I was going to say is we love you and we're just so grateful. I'm so grateful that we can be there for you, for anyone who needs help. And, you know, obviously we are limited and sometimes, you know, technically we're supposed to help someone one time with addiction recovery because it's so expensive, you know, but, you know, we have soft hearts and somehow we find a way if someone needs it more than once that either we can do it ourselves or we'll find a way. You know what I mean? Like the beauty of what we do too is we're very connected. We build relationships across the United States with rehabs and colleagues and providers, and they love what we do. And there's so many people that step in and help even when we may have run out of funding at times for certain individuals. You know, I mean, it's just magic happens. You know, I think when we do good things, all of us as human beings, when our hearts are in the right place and we do the right thing and the willingness is there on the other side, we're going to create something that works and we're going to find a solution.
It is to me the most important organization in the music business because it's so fantastic. This arm of the Grammys and the Recording Academy. Just what you did. I mean, the example that you talked about and what you did for people during COVID was unreal. I mean, because, you know, again, the stressors that were on people when all the tours were canceled, and that also affects mental health. I mean, because certainly, you know, my story was very public because I put it out there and my friends came to my aid and Music Cares came to my aid, which was so incredible. But, you know, so many people went through so much during that period of time. And the one organization that came through was Music Cares for so many people that I know. So I can't drive that home any more than right there, because it's just amazing. You know, I mean, and that's something else I got to ask you. It's got to be tough, you know, with a lot of the changes in the music industry and monetizing and the way streaming had changed things and all those different areas. You guys had to be very creative and find new ways to go at times to get investments, because sometimes when the industry's not doing as well, they're not as willing, you know, absolutely, to put back in, right? And I've always kind of felt that's always been a concern and worry of mine for an organization as great as Music Cares. So can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, I'll talk to you as best I can. So when you talked earlier, when we talked about there's so many people like on your end, you know, behind the scenes, the merch people, right? The tour bus drivers, the people that are in the music industry. Same thing with Music Cares. Like, we have our Health and Human Services department, which is me and Erica and our team. But then we also have our business affairs, which, you know, handles all the money. And then we have our grant writing team now. And we have our events team, which is Winnie. So we also, on our end, have a bunch of different teams and groups of people behind the scenes that have their specific wheelhouse, if you will, you know, or role. And I remember when COVID first hit, I mean, I was thinking, oh my God, are we going to lose our job? Us too. We were in fear. We're a charity. Who's going to provide? How are we going to help people? A lot did come to a halt in the beginning. And I think people were just scared. Our events team is amazing, specifically, you know, Winnie and everyone on that team. And yes, they just started, you know, being creative. But more importantly, Matt, money just started coming in also from people who knew that we were, like, for instance, TikTok, you know. I'm celebrating my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday. I just turned 63, dare I say. And, you know, I did not even know what TikTok was, okay? Like, and I just heard we got like $3 million from TikTok, you know, in COVID. I'm like, what? Well, who's TikTok? And of course, now we totally know who TikTok is. But, you know, I just say that because you never know who's in the wings, first of all. You never know who's watching us. And when I say us, not just Music Cares, you, me, life, right? We don't know. Yeah, yeah. We don't know who we hit, what type of presence we have. But we are always being watched, and we never know when the love is going to come in and where it's going to come from. And all I can tell you is that, yeah, we still have done fundraising, you know, online. You know, we've gotten very creative online and streaming and all that stuff, which I can't speak really well on because my expertise is the mental health addiction, you know, services side. But our team has been amazing in just reaching out and doing what they need to do to create that space to have the funds still come in, and reaching out to organizations and letting them know that we're here and that we've needed help. And people just stepped in, you know, they just did.
I love that. I just think it's incredible. Now, you know, so let's go back to you personally. I just got to say that you've gotten some incredible awards recently and recognized for all this great work that you do. And I just wanted to just commend you for that. Because I know, and by the way, you look fantastic. 63, you look amazing, by the way. Just, I thought I should tell you that. I'm going to throw that, but you need to know that. Absolutely, Shereen. Now you made a special point in helping women in the industry, which is really cool too. And let's talk about that.
Well, thank you. Yes. I mean, you know, I as you know, part of being in recovery is helping others, right?
Yes.
And, I help a lot of women on the side that have nothing to do with Music Cares, a lot of Music Cares women too. But, and just, you know, I know myself just as a little girl growing up and then getting older, just in my teens and the messages that we're given as women, but men too. I mean, like this is just across the board, but since you did specifically say women, and that is who I address, but just as human beings, we grow up watching TV and seeing magazines, right? And reading things, and things are polished and filtered. And we think, you know, if I was thinner, I'd get this, or if I was blonde, or if I was tall, or just the messages you get as a woman, you know, then I'd be loved, you know, or I'd be lovable, or he, they, whatever, wouldn't do that to me. And the more and more I stayed sober and did my own work and started working with other women, I have the gift, the blessing of working with every aspect of women from every color, every race, every, you know, class, every background, from artists who are high end to just people who are out of the penitentiary. You know what I mean? But like every spectrum. And when they feel safe and they're willing to do their inventory with me, you know, which is an inventory of their life, hands down, Matt, as you know, it talks about the story may be different, but the feelings are the same.
Yeah.
And I started realizing, my God, it didn't matter what any woman looked like or where they came from, that we all suffered from low self-esteem, many of us anyway, not all, but many, most. And that the messages we've been given are so broken and wrong and jaded. And so it became so important to me to be on a mission, first of all, to just start learning how to love myself, because I don't feel like I could really help someone else. Or really the flip side was, is I was always helping other people and never helping me. So I was lifting everybody else up, but I wasn't really practicing what I was preaching to them. And I believed what I was saying to them, but yet not embracing it myself. So, and you know, just to kind of wrap this question up, it's like, at 63 years old, I love myself more now than I ever have in my life. I just went through a divorce about 3 years ago. For the first time in my life, I'm happy single for the first time ever. You know, it doesn't mean I'm not open to like what the possibilities could be. But as a woman, I think especially as a woman, but I have such compassion for my male friends who also have been vulnerable and shared with me, like, what does that mean to be a man? You know, what do you mean? You know, what does being a man look like? And so just really getting down to the bare bones of like that we are not alone, that we have each other, you know. But as a woman, it has been very important for me to empower other women and know their self-worth, no matter where they're at, no matter where they come from, to not compare, you know, to start looking at their own starting points and where they are now. If they're a mother, then a whole nother thing there, because I'm a mother. So yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on, but just women need to be educated and empowered, you know, and loved so they can be better at what they do and better in the world.
I agree. You know, I have two daughters who are young adults. Mm. So, you know, and of course I've also been divorced and single, the whole thing, but I love my daughters so much. And it's so important that, you know, that empowerment and knowing that they can achieve what they want to achieve, and they don't have to be held to those standards that, you know, social media or, you know, media itself hold you to. So I love what you had to say. I really do. And I think it's really important. And speaking of incredible women, I love that Joni Mitchell is the 2022 Music Cares Person of the Year. Sadly, that tribute concert's been postponed with the rest of the ceremonies. Let's talk about the tribute concert and some of the other ones historically, because it's those have become legendary. And, you know, I will say the first MAP, when MAP was doing one, I hosted the very first one with David Crosby back in 2000. You know, with like Jackson Browne and a bunch of other people there. And that was the first one I remember MAP doing. And, you know, so, and that was with Winnie. And it was, well, how honored I was to actually host that. But you've done great ones every year. Like, I was just there a couple years ago with Macklemore, and, you know, for when he was honored, and it was just a beautiful show. Talk to me about the Joni Mitchell one, and then let's go over some of the other classic shows that you guys have put together.
Sure. Well, so our Person of the Year, which is what that's called, is our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's our largest fundraiser where we really bring in the bulk of our money to help provide services to the clients in need. And it's always hosted 2 days before the Grammys, always, because most people are in town and fly in from all over to go to the Grammys that are in the industry. So it is about 3,800 people or so. You've been there, sit down, dinner, you know, and it's just an A-list evening of A-list artists who come out and honor and sing songs of whoever's being honored that night. But it's just an evening of schmoozing and fun and, you know, auctions and music. And it's just incredible. You know, it's an incredible evening. And we raise a lot of money. It's really awesome. But
tell me about some of your favorite moments from some of the past few years or so of those shows, who the performers were. Because it's just beautiful when some other people that are in recovery come up and talk about and give them that award. And it's just a really magical night, you know? So can you tell me about some of the memories of some of your favorites?
It really is, and I hope I don't screw it up. don't know.
Because they blend together. After a while, you're like me. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm like, what year was that one? But it's what they're all, you know, I understand that.
Yeah, I'm like, that's part of the 63 thing. Like, don't ask me to remember certain things right now. But two of the things that come to my mind probably the most immediately is, you know, when we honored Bob Dylan. And, you know, he rarely, that I know of, you know, he rarely says much or does much. And we were all in the audience. And at the end, when we called him up, he got up. And, you know, some people just, you know, they're gracious. Thank you, music cares, blah, blah, blah. It's quick and they move on. Oh, my God. He wrote like a five, ten page letter, you know, thanking not only us, but the industry. Like, I mean, it was like, it felt like, I could be exaggerating or maybe not at all. Like, I'm telling you, I think it was 10 to 15, 30 minutes long. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And everybody was just in awe that he was just there and present and took the time and took the heart to really, like, he was just, he was there. He felt it, you know? And that was really awesome to witness, just him taking that time to say what he said. And Paul McCartney, and we've had Fleetwood Mac, and we've had Aerosmith, and we've had, I loved Dolly Parton, you know? I mean, I always liked her. I thought, you know, she was okay, just to be honest. But when we honored her, you know, I fell in love with her, because you also find out stories about people. Again, there's a saying, and I really love it. Outward appearances are not inward realities. And yeah, so
I love that.
Times we see people or things on the outside and we size them up, right? I'm sure you have been, I've been, you know, people just think, they look at us and, oh, I know what she's about or he's about. And we have no idea, right? We have no idea the stories behind a face or what, you know. And so I just remember really falling in love with her and just what she was about, what she stood for, everything else she was a part of. I remember when Bruce Springsteen, you know, we were having a hard time in the auction. We usually do well, but like people in this moment, we had like, we were trying to auction stuff off and it was really slow for a minute and it was almost uncomfortable. And we have an auctioneer. Well, Bruce just grabbed the mic himself, got out in the audience and just started doing it himself. And he's like, come on, you know, who's going to bid on this, blah, blah, blah. Then he threw in a personal dinner and he says, do it and I'll come cook at your house. Anyway, it was just so funny.
That's great.
And, you know, I've been there 18 years. There's so many magical moments and just evenings of sitting there in awe. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I'd have to like really think about just so many special moments like that. But just to see, you know, I'll tell you also, this was really awesome. So you know that you've been to many of our what's called Safe Harbor Room.
And yes.
Safe Harbor Room, for anybody that doesn't know what that is recovery support. So we don't really just call it 12-step anymore. I'm a 12-stepper, but we want to be inclusive of people who are abstinent, but just recovery period, you know, but the goal is abstinence. And so, as you know, many of the festivals like Lollapalooza, Stagecoach, you know, Coachella, et cetera, we also at the telecast have what's called a Safe Harbor Room in backstage in the suites or wherever we're placed. So during the Person of the Year, obviously we talk about Music Heroes and what we offer. It's been very rare that an artist really has actually though taken the time to like come, you know, to us and check it out. Well, the year that we were honoring Carole King, yeah, she came herself. She wanted to come to the Safe Harbor Room and meet us and see what it was about. And, you know, she just, it was so touching that she actually didn't just walk in the door and say hi. She like shook our hand and wanted to know. And, you know, you kind of get to learn too, whose heart is just really a little more invested. Who's the person that just really, really cares. It's not just about showing up, but it's really about caring. You know, and that extra moment to look into someone's eyes and connect and say, I see you and I appreciate what you're doing.
I think that's great. You know, and I'll be the first one to, completely be transparent and out myself and say, I am definitely one of the guys you have helped more than once. And you guys have done some amazing things for me. And
know that we love you. We love you. I'm so happy that you're doing well. And it just warms my heart.
I can't even tell you the gratitude I have for you, Shireen. And Shireen, let me just say, Shireen, everybody, you, Winnie, Harold, everybody's works there. It's just a whole crew of people all the way up. It's just, I love you all. And this is why it's so important. I want to get the message out. Where can musicians and people in the industry go for help? What is the best way for them to go about looking into this?
Absolutely. Well, of course, anybody can just go straight to our website, you know, which is www.musiccares.org, not com, but .org, and just click on Music Cares, you know, about our services. And anybody can just right there, click on our email or get the phone numbers. They're all listed there, and call anyone. Our 800 line, we have an 800 line now that will just prompt anyone to, like, you know, if you want medical, dental, press one. If you want addiction, mental health, press two, and every other service, press three. Let me just mention that number now. I'll say it slowly because anybody can just right away call there, which is 800-687-4227. So again, 800-687-4227. My direct line at work, I mean, I'll just give it, you know, since anybody, if they are connecting with me in whatever way and want to talk to me directly, is 310-581-1259. The first step is just to call us. You know, we're nationwide and our teams help everyone across the nation. So that number will get whoever needs help to the right person.
It's absolutely amazing to me. And, there used to be comments where, like, there was a famous line about peoples and scoundrels in the music industry, and Hunter S. Thompson had this really infamous quote. But the absolute truth is that there are amazing people in the music industry, and I don't know what other industry has an organization like Music Cares, a place for outreach for people that work in every aspect of it, at every level of success or wherever they are in their time, life, or career. And I love that about what you represent. And I think that's the most beautiful thing, why it's such an important part of the Recording Academy and of the Grammys. It's just amazing. And I couldn't thank you enough. And I want to let people know that, you know, speaking of fundraising, like, I can't overstate that. So, and how much you've done for me and for people that I love and care about, musicians whose music has touched me and meant so much to me in my life and kept me going and given me a purpose. So all those things that you've done, I just want to let everyone know how important that is. And, you know, if you love music, you should definitely give to Music Cares. It really does make a difference like no other organization. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's amazing. So, Shireen, it is so great to see you. And I so appreciate you taking the time to do this today and to get on here. It's just and again, I know you said you look 60, you're 60. You look phenomenal. I just wanted to say that. I'll put it out there. But
it's a
you know, and it's and you know, I hope to see you. I know I will see you soon out at one of the events soon. You know, and the other thing is there are some, you know, great 12-step meetings and meetings as well that come through Music Cares. So you can look up at the website and find out about that as well. It's just amazing. So, Shireen, listen, thank you. Can you just, before we close, can you tell me about some of those awards that you've gotten? Because you've gotten some really incredible awards. I mean, can you talk to me about some of the things? Because you've done so much good work for people to help others. Can you tell me about a few of those? Because I know if I don't ask you, you're not going to just volunteer them, because I know the way you are. But let's talk about that.
I wasn't prepared for that. but thanks. Within the industry, I think the one that really kind of surprised me the most, but just most of the awards I've gotten are all about giving, you know, like just the service that I have had in the community. And whether that's the music community or just recovery community, there have been many places that provide, and they're big events, you know, and it's funny how, even though I totally am not downplaying the work that I do, I know that I make a difference and I know I do a lot, but I'm not the only person. So many people do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, that's not why we're in it anyway. We're not, you know, like, right? I mean, you know, we're not in it for the awards, but.
I get shocked whenever I've been called to say, we're choosing you. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, me out of like all these people. And, you know, all I can say, I mean, it's there's been awards like through Promises. I mean, Promises Foundation, they have a huge event every year, and they had chosen me to honor me. There's It's called Miriam's House, and it's the polo. It's a big polo match at Pacific Palisades Park, and just a big shindig. But they pick people who have just been of service. And I mean,
and it's a great. Also, you got an award through Sierra Tucson, right? Which is a really helped a lot of people that I know. Some of the most famous musicians of all, ever have gone through treatment there, as well as just, again, just regular people that might be, mechanics. And that's absolutely beautiful. That's the thing about recovery. We support everybody and want to be there for everybody. But tell me about the one from Sierra Tucson.
Well, that was just pretty much the same thing. It's just about giving. I mean, it's just like a service of giving. It was called, I have it somewhere around here. Maybe it's in my office. That was called. It's like the Spirit of Giving Award, and it's just, they acknowledged, I think again, it goes back to when I had commented earlier that we're always being watched, but we don't know who's watching us. I go to a lot of places like you do. I mean, I think we're watched, and we don't know whether a handshake, a smile, just our kindness, whether we help someone who, I'll tell you, I'll probably get in trouble right now, but I'll roll the dice. Sometimes people call music carers and they don't qualify for our services. And we're pretty lenient, by the way, we're pretty liberal. And I'll try to stretch it, when they barely make the mark, I'll try to let me just try to make this happen. And I'll tell you, I think it's those times where we shake that person's hand who's heads down, or we help that person who may not qualify, or we help the person in the corner, forget them even being a musician, just being kind, just trying to make a difference that we don't know who is paying attention to us. And I think that is the message that I feel. I try to be that person. I try to, when I see a soul hurting or in a dark place or their head down, Or people that are, deformed, and the first thought sometimes is to turn away and walk away because it's uncomfortable, but I don't. I push myself to smile or say, hi, how are you? But how I feel I got those awards when they could have chosen one out of thousands and thousands of people that do what we do. Even how I got the job at Music Cares, I found out I interviewed against many people who wanted this job. And all I can say, and I'm not saying they don't do what I do either. Who knows why we all get chosen to be chosen in whatever it is. But I will say that I believe that when you try to do the best you can do and be the best you can be, and most of all, don't forget who you are when you have a good life and goodness comes to you, to be humble and don't forget where you come from. And to always put out a hand, that somehow is seen some way by someone. And that's the best answer I could give you, because I don't know why me and not someone else. I don't know why you finally and why, why you how many times and maybe, you know what I mean? Like there's no.
Right, exactly. Why I finally got to a place where I really actually I accepted my alcoholism and addiction, decided to live in recovery and finally got it, finally broke through, had that breakthrough. Yeah. We don't know why, you don't, for a while you struggle. We don't know why some people get it right away, why some people are like me and it takes a long time of trying. We don't know, because that's what makes everybody individuals, right?
But Matt, you're a beautiful human being. I'll tell you, every time your name comes up, including me, when I hear your name or anyway, they love you because you're a good human being. You're a good person. And even not to say people that aren't good aren't going to be helped, but you know what? When people leave a bad taste in your mouth, it's a little harder to want to help them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's true. Especially if they're not kind.
But you know that, God, they're struggling, but they're a good person. They mean well. It just makes you want to go the extra mile. It just does.
Yeah, and I appreciate that so much. And I think that's a life lesson too for people's behavior too. Is to it's always better to be nice and be kinder. To be kind to
try. Others. We all have our day, right?
We all have our days. Absolutely. Yeah, right. Shireen, this was so good to have you on here. And once again, I just want to, tell everyone, if you love music, you got to give to Music Cares. Mm-hmm. If you can, please do. It really does make a difference to all the people that are involved in every aspect of making the music and bringing you that entertainment. So it's so important. Shireen, it was so lovely and wonderful to have you here on the podcast. Awesome to have you, and thank you for doing this today.
I hope I helped in some way and was able to represent well.
You did great. Absolutely.
We love you. Thank you for doing what you do. I can't wait to hug you and see you soon, I hope. And just
absolutely.
Blessings, you know.
Yeah, and thanks for all the great things you're doing for all the people out there in music, and for all the, you know, because and everything that you guys do, that you do, and the people in Music Cares do, that affects everyone who has a love of music wherever they are. I think that's so important. So thank you for that. All right, Shireen, it was good speaking to you. If you or someone you know is struggling with alcoholism or addiction, Music Cares operates a mental health and addiction recovery program that understands the challenges music professionals face, no matter where they are in their career. Learn more, including if you're eligible, at musiccares.org. That's musiccares.org.
Sound, sobriety, and success with Matt Pinfield. Produced by Jake Urbanek. Engineered by Darren Silva. Jerry Onsaldo, booking. Bill Royal, research. Susan Aksu, marketing production assistant. And Laura Keeney, marketing. Sound, sobriety, and success is a Bennstown McVeigh podcast production.